My beloved people, by way of the bulletin, I wish to point out to you that after Mass this morning, we will distribute ashes to everybody who cares to receive the ashes. And just go up to the communion rail as you know how to do. Also, you will see there's plenty of packets of ashes up here. Help yourselves to them. Use them all up. To bring home with you and to use them as sacramentals around your houses and homes, on the grounds in your gardens. If you want to give one or so to someone who can believe in faith, then by all means do so. We are Stations of the Cross and Benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament every Friday during Lent at 7 o'clock. Now Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week are Ember Days, and they are therefore days of fast and abstinence. Meat may be eaten once on Wednesday and Saturday. I realize that Friday is a feast of St. Patrick, and it is a day of great celebration in certain places. But nevertheless, so try to keep in mind that it is an Ember Day and keep the celebration down a little bit anyway. Next Sunday at this Mass, we will have the reception of the novice into St. Joseph's Convent. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In unaffected love, my beloved people, we have now begun Lent, and it is time during Lent that we should demonstrate to God the unaffected love that we have for him. Over the past few weeks, we have been speaking rather intensely on the interior life. And as you know also, it has been in the bulletins, and which bulletins are a lot of them. Several of them are sent out to various places in the country. And it is amazing how misunderstood, or just simply not at all understood, is the interior life. We must make every effort to understand what this means and how we must operate in the interior life. Remember how often we have said that we can work ourselves to death doing things that are holy in themselves. Say in the rosary, making rosaries, visiting the sick, saying extra prayers, fasting, reading holy books, etc., etc., and etc. And yet, these things do not affect our interior being. These are externals. The resolutions that we normally make during Lent, if we're not careful, can become just activities that we perform during this period of time, which will have absolutely no effect whatsoever on our interior change. St. Benedict, when he speaks to his apostles, his monks, He speaks of listening with the ears of your heart. And he speaks of change. He does not speak of change of attitude. He does not speak of change in exterior conduct, the way we comport ourselves, the way we act as monks. St. Benedict focuses his attention only on the interior being, with the ears of your heart. Listen. Listen to what the Master says. Listen. And do what the Master says. The Master, of course, being Christ. So during Lent, it isn't a matter of how much we can accomplish, how much we do, how many extra prayers we say, how long we stay on our knees, how much we fast. These things in themselves are good, yes. No one can deny that. And they should not be omitted. But if we are kneeling on our knees, let this be an act of interior activity and not just an external devotion of just being on our knees. We have to understand what the interior life is. The world outside does not comprehend it. And too many of our Catholics today do not comprehend it. They go to church on Sunday. Unfortunately, let's not say this entirely about those with whom we disagree, but let us say it also of many of those with whom we do agree. And it is sad to say, I fear, that in many places we can find many traditional people who are merely churchgoers. They simply feel the urge to go to church on Sunday. Doesn't matter which church, just so they go to church. They've done something. They've offered, I mean, they feel that this is their religion. My dear people, we have to go deeper than that. We have to comprehend deeper than that. We have to know what unaffected love is. Unaffected love of God. Unaffected love of Jesus Christ. And you will find also, again, sad to say, that amongst many of these people who do not have the proper devotion in their service of God, if you look closely and observe closely and watch closely, you will notice that these people, generally speaking, are sad people. There's something that is missing. And if they are jolly, if you permit me to use this word as we once used to use it, and understand it as we once used to understand it and not the way the word has been demoralized today. But just because these people are full of gaiety doesn't mean that they are necessarily happy people. They feel good, but they're not happy because interiorly there is something missing. Outside in the world today, we're finding a number of people who feel good, and they are apparently, to all intents and purposes, to look at them the way they operate, they are full of gaiety, as understood by us in former times. But they're not happy, because happiness rests only in the bosom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And until and unless we bring ourselves to that very spot, we shall not know what happiness is, what joy is. Have you not ever witnessed rich people, wealthy people, powerful people, healthy people, people that have everything that this world may have to offer them, and there is sadness in their eyes? While on the other side of the coin, you see poor people, sick people, people with every kind of problem that you can imagine. You look into their eyes, and their eyes are full of sparkle. And there is beauty in their eyes because their eyes reflect their beloved Savior. During Lent, we must keep in mind what our divine Savior went through in his holy passion. Keeping in mind who he was and what his purpose here on earth was, and to see what he had to endure in order to make it possible for you and I to save our immortal souls. The degree to which he had to descend, and the degree to which he had to give in to those that were treating him less than an animal in order that he might save our immortal souls. And then you take what it is that we have to offer. How little. We sometimes throw him just a penny and say, here, take it. This is what we give you today. We must be willing to love entirely. We must be willing to serve entirely. We must be willing to give entirely. And until we can do that, we are not giving him service. We're not giving him honor and glory. The best that we read, the best that we know, means nothing unless we give him the proper service. And this is always difficult. This is always inconvenient. Just the coming of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, if he had nothing else to do, nothing, if he had nothing else to do as God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, totally full of his divinity, totally full of his divinity, came and dwelt in the clothing of a creature. That was inconvenience, to say the least. That was the greatest kind of inconvenience. And then to see this one individual go through what he went through for just for us, that was inconvenient. The greatest possible kind of inconvenience. Enough to cause him to sweat blood. Not necessarily because of the inconvenience that it caused him, but because he could see that what he was doing was not going to profit everybody. And he was seeing those who would not at all receive benefit from what he was going to go through. This was inconvenience. And then we look at ourselves. To what degree do we inconvenience ourselves? Being kind in your families, even when it is not necessary or when it is not returned, that's inconvenience. Being temperate, when you're tempted to be intemperate, that's inconvenience. That's a suffering. Being charitable, being humble, being obedient, when the other vices would be certainly more according or fitting to my condition in life. After all, who I am, that's inconvenience. And it goes on and on and on. The little things of life are the great things of life. And it is those little things in life that are going to bring salvation to us. Let us not try to climb the mountain as though it were a child's play, because climbing the mountain, God's mountain, is truly an inconvenience. So as we proceed in Lent, during Lent, let us not fill ourselves with a bunch of empty resolutions. We're going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're going to do the other thing. We're going to not do the other thing. And then by the next day or two, it's all business as usual. Lent demands a change in the interior person. That's where Lent begins. If you do nothing, it's over and above what you normally do, that's fine. Provided you do something about temper, about pride, about impatience, about self-centeredness, about self-importance, about truthfulness, about sobriety, about self-control, and I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. That's where Lent begins. And unless and until we go into those fortresses of pride and gluttony and impatience and so on, unless we crumble those fortresses to the ground, we've done nothing. We've done absolutely nothing. It matters not how much heavy-duty artillery we bring to the scene. Matters nothing If the fortress continues to stand after Lent is over, all we've done was throw firecrackers at it and have accomplished nothing. And the inhabitants inside the fortresses, the devils themselves, are sitting at us, spinning our wheels, getting no place. My beloved people, it's as simple as that, and as very difficult as that. All the armies in the world do not have the strength that is enough to be able to tear down the fortress of pride, the fortress of self-indulgence, and so on. That's where Lent begins, in those places, and where we must work hardest at in accomplishing. Now, just a point concerning next Sunday, when we receive a lady into the novitiate of our convent. I want you to pray for her. It is no small thing today for a woman to leave the world in all of its utter magnificence and walk into the doors of a convent. She's not going there because she loves punishment, because she's not going to be punished. The convent life is not a punishment. It is not a job. It is a place for holy people, holy women, to spend their time telling God that they love him, and spending their time giving praise to God. This is what it means to be a nun. And the power of these individuals is greater, really. Let's go back to all the armies of the world. The power of these individuals is far greater than the power of the armies of the world, because they have a one-to-one contact with God Almighty himself. As you know, and as I know, and as we bemoan the fact that where once there was this power all over, and when this power was cast aside for the vanities of the world, when this power was cast aside, did we not notice that our culture, our society, our religion fell crashing to the ground? And therefore, we are working to restore this, not as a thing to restore. Not that you see women dressed as nuns and this thrills you, because you see, there they are. It isn't all gone yet. It is still here. That's not important. The important thing is that we are trying to reach the only one who can help our society, who can help our culture, who can help our religion. Only God can do that. And only the prayers of dedicated women and dedicated men can get that job done. So pray for her and pray for us all that we will be given the grace to understand, the grace to comprehend, the grace to grasp, and that we're not here just for show. We're not here to stand in front of you, waving our arms and dressing up in pretty robes and all that. That's show. We're here ourselves to find the way which leads to God. And in ourselves finding the way that leads to God, that it clears the way for you to follow and go to God. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. It is a matter of us taking you along with us as we go through the forest, as we go through the woods. And it is for us to take you to God. That's all. There's nothing else about it. So God bless us all and bring us all to our eternal happiness and blessing forever and ever. Amen.